Here we go.
Okay, we're live, huh? Thank you. Welcome, everybody, and welcome, Andy Lyons. And I don't think I see Tremaine Price yet, our new student representative, but welcome. We look forward to having you with us this year.
And I look forward to being here. Thank you.
And I think you'll find it's a very interactive bunch. You know, the first thing I wanted to do was just do a review of the minutes. Does anybody have comments on the minutes that were circulated from the last meeting? If not, could I get a motion to approve the minutes from the previous meeting?
I'll make that motion.
Second. Wonderful. That's great. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Super. I think a couple people have said today that they have commitments immediately after the meeting, so that's sort of a soft target around 4 o'clock. If that's okay, that gives us 2 hours. Next time we'll have lunch, thanks to Pat, and we'll get a chance to catch up on a couple other topics. I think it's a full agenda today. A lot of you have submitted items to be discussed at the meeting. I know George has a bunch of things he wants to go through in his report. So while I love to hear myself talk, I think I'll just turn it over immediately to George and let you take the horn, George.
I will try and go as quickly as I can. Obviously, there are a lot of issues that have been submitted by the council for review. One, welcome back. Welcome back for homecoming weekend as well. I hope that some of you will stay and participate in some of the events. On your list of questions, one of them was the NY SUNY 2020 update. We spent a good deal of the summer working on NY SUNY 2020. Vince was a formidable taskmaster, and frankly, many people suggested that if this had gotten any longer, they'd quit. But the legislature passed, and the governor signed the 2020 Act this summer. It was arguably the most historic legislation affecting SUNY since Governor Rockefeller in the 1960s. How does it work? Which is, I think, the big question. It's a 5-year tuitional, a rational tuition plan for in-state undergraduate students. $300 per year increase, which has already taken place for the first year, which creates an in-state tuition rate for year one of $5,270. That's the $4,970 plus $300. And if the $300 is raised every year by $300, which is not a fait accompli, at the end of year five, our in-state tuition will be $6,470. Still a very reasonable in-state tuition rate by any standards, and certainly by the Northeast standards.
And that's one semester?
One year.
Just being clear.
Okay, it's annual. Graduate tuition will increase approximately 6% per year. That's the limitation. And then we have what's called a $75 academic excellence fee, which is an annual fee that has yet to be approved because it is subject to the approval by the governor of the 4 submissions by the university centers as part of this NY SUNY 2020. Buffalo and Stony Brook have already made their presentations. All of the submissions have been in, all have been reviewed by SUNY, all have been reviewed by the governor's office, but there are 2 formal presentations yet to be made, and that's Binghamton and the University at Albany. We have had a devil of a time scheduling those, but at the end of the day, none will be approved until all are approved. They're all have been reviewed. So none of the 4 plans have actually been approved to date. We feel as though we have an excellent plan. Incidentally, I didn't mention one other tuition element. Out-of-state tuition will be raised approximately 10% a year. In addition to that, for purposes of access, we will set aside a portion of the incremental tuition to make sure that those students who are the neediest will get a proportionate increase in their aid based on their TAP eligibility. So probably 30 cents on every dollar will be returned to the students. It'll be distributed differently. It's the ritual, it's a Robin Hood distribution at the end of the day. But So we are very mindful of the need to make sure that students who are needy continue to have access to the university. If our plan is fully approved, we intend to grow our enrollment over the five-year period by 1,350 students, 1,050 undergraduate, 300 graduate students. We will implement, as I said, the new TAP program. We're in the process of strengthening our existing merit-based scholarships. We will create 745 new jobs on campus. 187 of those jobs are new faculty. They will have the impact of reducing our student-faculty or faculty-student ratio. There'll be 355 research support staff and 203 support staff. We are trying to invest an additional $7 million every year in our graduate student support over the 5 years. We are anticipating that we will be able to...
Just some visitors.
That's fine.
Just get some chairs.
Great. Okay. It's our anticipation that the additional faculty will generate over the period of 5 years an additional $115 million in funded research. That's really the mechanism that the indirect costs that we recovered from that research is the mechanism that'll be used to pay the debt service on our project. Our project itself is going to be approximately $150 million facility that will house a biomedical research operation and part of our College of Computing and Information. It is a will be on campus, located near the current Life Science Building, and frankly generated a great deal of support and a great deal of excitement on campus. Let me go back to the four things because we do have some guests and I want to make sure that I cover at least one of these items. So I'm going to go really out of order. The second item that you'd asked for a review was the idea of shared services from SUNY. SUNY is pushing the idea, and frankly, it's consistent with what the governor has recently announced of creating shared services across regions. We're have been placed in a region which goes from Plattsburgh to Purchase. Four statutory colleges, University at Albany, Plattsburgh, Purchase, New Paltz, is that it, Vince? Empire State, and then a number of community colleges that, because of the different governance, have different roles in the process. The idea behind the shared service is simple. Find opportunities to create synergies, whether it's IT, whether it's purchasing, whether it is administrative support, payroll, opportunities where we can save money by consolidating backroom operations and other related operations at a single campus or more than two or three campuses, but not seven or eight campuses. And that also impacts those shared services that might be available on a centralized basis through SUNY as well, so we can maximize the efficiency of the operation. The most controversial aspect has been the issue of shared presidencies. There are six campuses, it's been suggested that they will have three presidents for the six campuses. It's kind of an interesting thing because two of the presidents, SUNY IT and Morrisville, SUNY IT has a president, Morrisville doesn't, and Cobleskill and Delhi, Delhi has a president, Cobleskill doesn't, so you might imagine that those are a little bit more, a little easier to achieve because of the two vacancies that exist. The SUNY Board of Trustees has invited community comment, and for those two transactions, four colleges, two presidencies, there will be a vote or a decision made in November. One of the transactions has gotten a great deal more controversy, which is the Canton-Potsdam, both with sitting presidents. The idea behind that would be that President Kennedy, who is the Canton president, would be retiring, and that the Potsdam would be the surviving president of the two. That's gotten a great deal more controversy, up to and including some legislation that's been drafted to create a requirement that each campus has to have its own president. That's being studied, and that will not be decided until the May 2012 Board of Trustees meeting. Any questions on shared services before I go off of that? Or 2020? Okay. I had mentioned to you, and this is the third one of the requests, that we are engaging a management consultant to look at the administrative organization of the university. The consultant's been engaged. He's quite far along in his preliminary work, and perhaps even in the process of drafting. I'm looking at Steve because Steve's coordinating this.
Interviews are still taking place, but they did promise us an interim report sometime in the next week or so. So it's well underway and perhaps reaching the draft stage. The idea was to finish it in about a 4-month time span. It started late September, early October, so we're going to wait for it.
And it's part of our promise to the campus community that we would look at resource allocation, staffing levels, opportunities for efficiencies, addressing perhaps redundant services that might exist, service improvement opportunities. You know the drill, so that we're not exempt as a management team from external scrutiny. We've engaged them. I've only had one introductory meeting with the group, so I've had no personal input until they do their initial review, and that's our plan. Our plan was I didn't want to jade the process at all by providing them with my personal perspective on anything.
So that'll be on the docket for December, is that?
I think it'll probably be later.
Maybe some headlines.
Yeah, certainly we'll update you on what's going on there. The football stadium was another one that was on your list. First of all, it's not a stadium. Don't call it a stadium. It's a facility. We are currently in the design stage. No announcement had been intended. The newspapers got a hold of it because the architectural firm that was involved with helping us put it on their website. Apparently there's a way of whenever the university is mentioned, it triggers some kind of a alert or something, and I don't know. I still don't use an ATM card, so. In any event, we are in the design phase. We have, it'll be a one-wall facility. It's not a project which is limited to that. It's a three-phase project. One is we are going to be repairing the existing track, which is not regulation and is actually a safety hazard. Which is so bad that, frankly, we have not been eligible to hold meets on campus. Besides, the inside lane is shorter than the others, so we could cheat and have our people run on the inside lane all the time.
Set a lot of records.
Yeah, we could set a lot of records. But in any event, so that is a significant repair at the site that the track is currently in. The football field, which was built before we had a football team. So there was no football field because we didn't have a football team. At the end of the day, it's one of the only east-west fields in the country, maybe the only east-west field in the country for any kind of a Division I program for sure. The facilities are dated, and they really are not don't accommodate the people that we have. The new facility will be where the giant practice field is, which is next to and below the bubble, just below the bubble, next to the current parking area. There are fields there now. It will accommodate the same number as the current facility accommodates, so it's not going to be a situation, it'll just accommodate them much more comfortably, and it'll also allow us to address some of the handicap issues that we've had difficulty addressing in the past because of the current facilities. The money is in place. There's a third phase, to this project, and that is by the tennis courts by Dutch Quad. There will be a turf facility built for use by the students, controlled by student success, not athletics, and it'll strictly be a student facility where we can have intramural and other activities in a facility that's a little bit more meaningful and, frankly, much less problematic, because we have issues with student facilities right now. And we are here for the 18,000 students. So that's the three phases, $18 to $25 million. Financing is pretty much in place, and part of that financing is that we pretty much have a commitment of 25% of that in private donations, and we're hoping to get more. But right now, there is in place about 25% of that in private donations, and it is a tiny percentage of our overall campus plan. Obviously, if you look around, you'll see that. Holt Harris property. You've read a lot of things in the newspapers. There have been a lot of things written. Our friends behind me here have suggested a lot of things. One, so that I can dispel some of the misinformation that's been submitted. We have not bid $1.75 million for a property that's being that's on the market for 1.6. We have made an offer for the property because it is 9 acres of property which is contiguous to the university. We have no purpose for it. We aren't going to build a racquetball facility or a bar or anything else. It's behind Chapel House. What we bid was what the external appraiser appraised it at. It is a fraction of the asking price. It was rejected, and we have not made a counteroffer. So that's where we are. As I told the neighborhood committee, it would be very disingenuous for me to tell them that we have no interest in 9 acres of contiguous property to this campus. We have no purpose for it. We have no plan for it at the end of the day, but we made an offer. The offer was rejected. We have not made a counteroffer, nor do we anticipate making a counteroffer at this time. Any questions on those subjects?
What's the timeline for the athletic facility?
We have one more approval stage for it. It had been approved by the governor's office, but it was a previous administration. So we have to resubmit. We've gotten approval from Governor Patterson's office, but we are now resubmitting the paperwork. It is in the governor's office for that final level of approval. Is that right, Steve?
That's true.
So where we are?
Yeah, if everything broke right, we would hope to start construction during the winter with respect to site work and get it open sometime. We'd hope to do it for homecoming next fall. We're not going to be able to meet that timeline, but hopefully sometime later in the season we'll be able to open it to some degree.
What was the total dollar amount on the athletic?
$18 to $24 million, I believe is the number that we
have. We're at about 22 right now.
Yeah.
And that's including the turf field.
All three projects together. Now I can go back to some of the other things. I think that covers all of the council member requested items. Sorrel,
yes.
Did I cover everything?
It has those four items.
Okay.
Yep.
Let me just go back to the beginning of the school year. We had a very strong summer session, three strong months. We gave 500 credit-bearing courses, and we had 4,350 students take classes on campus over the summer, which is a good and healthy number for us. We had another terrific orientation program. We welcomed a very strong class to the university. Wayne will give you an enrollment update shortly. I should digress a minute and say that we are unfortunately going to lose Wayne. Wayne has been with the university for a number of years. He has been instrumental in turning around our enrollment and increasing the quality of our classes. He is returning to the University of Connecticut, where he will take the role as vice president of a whole bunch of things. He's got sort of like a potpourri job, but including enrollment, and he will be sorely missed by the university, and you can certainly take an opportunity to thank him for all of his good work for this university while he was here. I don't know, you won't be here for the next council meeting, so this will be his last council meeting, and I personally will miss him very much because he has done a great job for all of us. So. But he will give you an enrollment report very shortly. A lot of construction going on campus. If you've driven around, the dormitory facility is going on schedule, and we anticipate a summer 2012 next year opening. The new business school is proceeding apace. You can't see it from here, but if you go over to my office or the conference room, you can see the incredible progress that's been made on that particular project. That's anticipated to be open the year after in 2013. We will be taking down Mohawk Tower. It's the first of the towers that are being rehabilitated. As you might expect, it's an enormous project to rehab a tower, $33 million in cost. And that will be completed in 2014 for hopefully a September or August opening. It is critically important that we have the opportunity to rehabilitate the existing housing stock because, you know, this is 1967 vintage stock. It is certainly not competitive in the marketplace for students. We have some of those dorm rooms that are tripled. It's hard to believe that that we have two people in some of those dorm rooms. A third person just is it's not acceptable. So we've got to restructure and reorganize the housing stock. And if we didn't put this new dormitory facility online, I believe that the current schedule without the additional 500 beds would have meant that we were rehabbing 2044?
70-year cycle.
70-year cycle, so whatever. So just imagine what it would be like if at that point. So this was a very critical process.
Do you have to hold off that? You talked earlier about growing enrollment, though. I mean,
We are scheduling enrollment as... We have initiated a sophomore year parial this year, which means that we are requiring second-year students to stay on campus. That's something I feel very strongly about. I just think a 19-year-old needs to be on campus and not downtown. We are congested, but we've actually scheduled all of these projects over a period of time. So with the 500 beds coming online, we should be able to accommodate, you know, the gradual enrollment growth over 5 years. Data center relocation, which will be out in one of the current maintenance buildings. It'll actually be a very nice improvement to the landscape of the university, because those maintenance buildings on the Fuller Roadside aren't not exactly attractive buildings. That's underway. Campus center expansion, which to me is a critically important project because, you know, as you know, we have 250 student groups on this campus and we don't have any real facilities that they can use. The campus center was designed with a much lower enrollment in mind and much fewer in terms of student organizations. This is a very engaged campus, lots of things going on. That's, I think, one of the strong suits of this campus, that we want people to be involved in many different things. So this is a critically important project, in my opinion, one of the most important ones. That is, we're looking at a spring 2015 opening on that expansion. We're also working on our master facilities plans for the future, but stay tuned later on because we don't have time to go over this. Quick Giants update. Somebody asked me about that earlier. The Giants had camp in New Jersey this year. Their camp was abbreviated 13 practice days. During those 13 days, they had an attendance of 14,478 people. Last year, we had 16 practice days, and we had an attendance of just under 40,000. So it was certainly a different environment. We had a lot more in terms of fan participation here than they did in New Jersey. Tom Coughlin, his description of the camp down there was that it was different. I don't know what that means. It was a different experience. John Mara has indicated to me on more than one occasion that they will be back at Albany this next summer. However, beyond the summer, we really have no commitments or plans as to what's going to happen. I'm going to skip a lot of this stuff. UAlbany student involvement. We have a tremendous amount of student involvement in the community, and we have for a long time. We had Community Involvement Month, which is going to be this month of October. We started out with a terrific program with students from the Albany School District, a talent camp, which I thought was great. We had young people that came here and were advised by our students, whether they were the singing groups, dancing groups, step groups, and after being tutored and mentored, they literally performed, and they were great. And I think there's a lasting impression on these young people. I heard a lot of people say, kind of college is kind of cool. Mm-hmm. So that's good. That's something that we want to do. We have had a lot of involvement with their disaster reliefs, a relief situation. We've raised about $9,000 for the flood relief, and we've had two teams of our students work on reconstructing houses in Schoharie County. We have a third team going down in a week or so to continue those efforts. One of our groups rebuilt the playground in Schenectady, spent a good deal of time in one of the inner city schools rebuilding a playground. That's the kind of work that's going on. That's the kind of work that our students do in the community, and unfortunately, you don't read anything about that. You read a lot about other stuff.
There was an article in the paper, was it yesterday or today, and that's St. Rose students and RPI, but nothing from you all.
And I think, incidentally, if you're looking at numbers, we dwarf their numbers in terms of the number of students that are involved. Why don't I stop there and just ask for any questions?
And I apologize. I don't read the Times Union, so I'm not up on all
apologize.
Of the.
On
the back of the shared services thing, how does this get? Resolved. People just.
That's a great question.
We are people seriously going to get together and try and.
We called the meeting. One of the dilemmas that I had in terms of starting the meeting is since we're the big boy in the block.
Right.
I didn't want to create a situation where we were the driving force behind it. For two reasons. One, I didn't want people to assume that because we're a center that we're going to sort of be absorbing all of these things. And two, what I didn't want was a shared service arrangement where everybody saved money but us, which is entirely possible if we play this wrong. But because we really didn't have the opportunity to, no one really was taking the initiative on calling a meeting. We called a meeting, but I didn't chair it. We just called a meeting and got together on the telephone. And I think there was some very constructive conversation that goes on. I do think there are opportunities in the procurement area. I do mm-hmm. think there are opportunities in the IT area. There are some backroom facilities, I think, that can be merged. But we've got people who actually do the work, actually looking into these opportunities. And I think that has to be done in conjunction with SUNY, because I do think there are also central office opportunities.
To say they're here.
Yeah. So there are those things that that are important. But it won't be, everyone is not going to go into this thing, cheering and applauding.
Sure.
It's a difficult transition. And again, we have to figure out a way that we don't sacrifice efficiency to the point where whatever savings we have aren't really worthwhile. But you're absolutely right. The egos and the politics is very difficult in terms of dealing with this.
Is it just administrative services, or is it also academic?
It's not academic. We're not
That's
looking.
The next step. Yeah,
we're not looking at academic services at all.
This is
primarily support administrative services at this point.
So online courses couldn't be shared, for example?
Online courses?
Right.
I think that they're ultimately an opportunity for distance learning in a shared environment. I think that's an opportunity going forward. It's certainly something we're going to look at from our perspective in terms of enhancing our, you know, online or distance learning opportunities here on campus in various programs. You know, as I mentioned earlier, our demographics are changing. You know, over the next decade, 30% fewer high school graduates right. in New York right. State. That's a significant number and means that we have to look for, you know, a lot more out-of-state enrollment, a lot more international enrollment, and more non-traditional student enrollment, you know, job retraining, distance learning, and the like.
Even things like lab services, you know, I mean, it's expensive to build a lab. So if you have, if you're going to build them in one place and everybody accesses that.
And that'd be a little more problematic.
I understand that.
Any other questions?
Anything else? No? Okay, yeah. Great. Thank you, George. Thank you very much. Want to welcome Tremaine Price as our new student representative for the council this year. Welcome. And before you provide your report, Tremaine, maybe just share with us a little bit about yourself and a little background would be great.
Well, I personally for Trey. So
for Trey? Okay.
Hey, Trey.
That's fine. But I'm originally from Elmira, New York. I'm a senior this year, majoring in public policy, a minor in organizational studies. I'm also very involved. I've been very involved on campus since, you know, probably about my freshman year. So doing a lot of President Phillip and Provost Phillips over here. I'm sure I've seen my face many, many times in many different capacities. But yeah, so I'm glad to be here. I'm looking forward to serving with you all this year.
Trey is one of our stars. Not only that, he's probably one of our most prolific guides. Knows more about this university than all of us do. So,
yeah, I do have a pretty unique perspective as a tour guide. So.
Great. Well, welcome.
I don't have much, but just to touch quickly on some of the things that we've been doing this year. We had our SA block party towards the end of September. It was originally scheduled for August, but due to hurricane issues, we had to postpone. However, we did have our block party a couple weeks ago. We ended up having it on the Dutch Commons, that new construction in front of Dutch Quad. It was the first time it's ever been done there. It was a very, very successful event. I think Chris can attest to this. Actually, it was probably one of our best block parties, and at least as long as I've been here. Very well attended. Got a lot of new groups as well. I mean, like President Phillip said, we have, you know, maybe like 250 or so student groups, and we continue to get more, you know, every year. along with the, you know, the community service, month, we're doing a lot of different community service events as students, in addition to the different, the various, you know, trips for disaster relief. We're also doing a backpack drive, which should be coming up fairly soon here, and I believe the last week of October, we're also planning a trip to the Binghamton area to also do some more relief. We'll be working with the student government at Binghamton as well. So our student association and theirs are doing a joint collaboration. So that'll be going on. We also have speaker series coming up this weekend with homecoming. With Magic Johnson will be here. So hopefully anyone that's planning on going, you've got your tickets. So that should be very good. We're very excited about that. Looking forward to that this weekend. We have a fall concert coming up after that featuring LMFAO and the Far East Movement. Not sure if you guys know who any of these people are.
No.
To be fair, I didn't either. Just to throw that out there. Also, in early November, we also have an open house for our Dibbikill Wilderness Retreat. I'm sure all of you know about, you know, Dibbikill. I'm sure many of you have probably been before, but we're trying to do more in the way of promoting Dibbikill and making it known to, you know, our students, faculty, staff, and, you know, university community that that is available to them. You know, they do have access to that. So we'll be doing an open house in early November. So there'll be a couple buses going up there. Our staff at Dibbikill will, you know, give a tour and a whole bunch of other stuff. And there'll be some probably some team builders going on with the help of our campus recreation department and some other stuff. So that'll be in beginning of November. I think that's about it for us. Any questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Trey.
Thank you. Welcome. Also want to welcome Andy Lyons, our faculty representative. And Andy, maybe just share, for those of us who don't know you well, a little bit about yourself.
Okay. don't worry. I'll be kind. I am currently have the dubious distinction of being the chair of the Department of Theater. So, and as some of you may know, that is one of the departments that is slated to lose its major as of May 2012. And as I've said in other situations, so I will say this here, while I sat on the budget advisory group and heard a lot of the details, and of course I don't think I personally would have chosen to eliminate theater for all of the reasons that many people have patiently heard me say over and over again, I do understand the difficulty and the fact that our faculty just is not large enough to sustain, and unfortunately there's not money to replace them at this point, and we were a less bad choice. Decision to cut us than some other departments. So, so I'm still here, I'm still working, and I'm glad to be here. I've been here for 30 years on campus, and my area is actually primarily lighting design, theatrical lighting design. So I work where art and science come together and invisibility, and I'm here as the representative to the University Senate.
Great. Thank you.
Andy has been a wonderful community citizen and frankly has paid for it in many ways. And so we're very grateful for her. She's a team player. She's somebody who understands that difficult choices had to be made and certainly is worthy of our admiration.
Well, thanks.
Thank you, Andy. I don't know if you had any specific remarks from an update standpoint.
It's early in the year for the Senate, and the one ongoing issue that was left from last year that's on everyone's radar is regarding the general education requirements. There are a lot of constituencies with competing concerns, and the committee that's working on this is continuing to work to try to address all of those needs within the reality of limited funding. And so that is ongoing, and we remain hopeful that sometime this semester there will be something coming back to the floor of the Senate for discussion, and we hope resolution so that we can move on and align that. Otherwise, again, it's because of the beginning. I'm sure I will have more to tell you about the issues on the floor by the next meeting.
Okay, wonderful. Any questions for Andy? Okay, next up, Nicholas.
Sure, I also don't have much to report from the graduate student organization. The organization recently finished the budget allocations for our student groups. We don't have a couple hundred like the SA, but more closer to 30 different graduate organizations. So we've doled out the funding to them. They do a lot of different events and funding, more specific to the different schools, colleges, and programs. We're also in the process of awarding grant awards to the graduate students. They're modest grants to help them with their research and scholarly travel. So those are the things we've been focused on.
Great. Thank you. Well, Kay, you look fully armed over here.
I was going to say everything but food. Pass on those grants.
Next up, Kay.
I know you've been invited, but I just want to be sure you have the full schedule of the homecoming, family, and reunion weekend. Oh, sorry, fall bench as well. So we're very, very excited. This is a big time for the staff and for us and the Alumni Association, so we're absolutely thrilled. By way of just giving you a few remarks about what we're up to, I wanted to invite you to join or become a member of the Danger Zone. We give out this phone. He goes around to the minute a student comes on campus, be that transfer.
That's a T-shirt, incidentally.
That's a T-shirt. Yeah, not for me.
It's not really a bone.
We call it the bone. And the beauty of this is that you wear this proudly, as we all do. I don't happen to have mine on today, but we do that. And you get all kinds of. Goodies, for instance, we came on, it says here, come over to our festival tent on the 15th, and there'll be free food. I'm often asked about beverages. Well, we have seltzer. not bring your own, but anyway. And here's the whole point of this is that we've learned in the Alumni Association that you must engage students right away. It's and we've talked to Chris about this preliminarily, and we do a lot of work with Chris's operation. It's one thing to greet a student, and then 4 years later, greet them again with a senior gift, and then let them go on their merry way. And then 10 years after they're successful, approach them for give back in service or a donation. So we have learned that we got to start day one, which is what we do. We really do it on four levels. First, we give them the T-shirt, Dave's on, that throughout the year, all the years they're here, all sorts of free perks, stuff, food, and so on. So to keep them constantly involved in the Alumni Association. We then smoothly, I would call it smoothly, transition them into a group called the Gold Group, appropriately, purple and gold. Gold standing for the graduates of the last decade. And they do their own sort of programming. And for instance, we just got through with a very successful event down in New York City. 300, we had to close the event, of Gold students came. Not one piece of printed advertisement, everything with social media. So we were thrilled with that. And those things go on and on. So that's basically my report. Is there any questions or comments?
It's a big weekend.
Big weekend. Very, very, very exciting. We'll induct on Saturday morning the Half Century Club. I don't think 50 years out, we'll be, class of 61 will be in. And I just was over to the Alumni House, and there's two people just arrived. They drove across country for their 64th, do the math, their 64th reunion.
Wow.
30
wow.
people are coming.
Wow.
30 people are coming. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
So are we going to win the game?
We're going to win the game.
Very
awesome.
They're playing in it.
So it's really a thrill. It's a thrill to instill the spirit and the loyalty and the love that I and others have for this university. Thank you.
Thanks, Kay. Thanks for the report and wonderful work. I love this packaging. This is very creative. Exactly. Old business. I don't have any old business, but I don't know if there are any other members of the council that have old business that they want to bring before the council. Okay. If not, I think we could go to Wayne. I just almost feel dramatic saying that.
Thank you. You should have a copy of the Aroma Management Highlights for Fall 2011 in your packets. Just by way of introduction, let me say that this has been an incredible year for enrollment. From many points of view, many aspects, but the bottom line is that it's also been a very successful year, actually a remarkable year considering. And before I go any further, hats off to Bob Andrea, who is with us there in the corner, and his fine folks in undergraduate admissions for really pulling this year out for us. We're pleased to report that we welcome 2,425 new freshmen this year, which is 75 students more than what we had anticipated and targeted, an 8.3% increase over last year, with a mean SAT score, mean high school GPA of 90, and a mean SAT score of 1150. The entering class also included 159 out-of-state students. The president has mentioned our interest in being more aggressive in the out-of-state markets and international markets to shape our class moving forward. So we have 41 more out-of-state students, a 36% increase over last year.
That's great.
The Honors College, we welcomed 126 new freshmen into the Honors College this year. That's compared to 119 a year ago. We also enrolled 171 students of color, which is almost a 12% increase above last year's class. So 37.4% of this freshman class are students of color. And I'm really, really, really extremely proud of that. Some of it is demographics, as we all know. The landscape is changing a bit, but also it speaks to the kind of climate that we have here for our student body, that they feel extremely welcome here.
How does that compare to the other university centers, do you know?
I don't know what their latest numbers are, but we are in very strong shape. We always have been for quite some time in compared to other university centers.
One other question. What's your ratio of males to females?
I'm going to look at Bob. It's very close, Bob. What is it?
This year, we're almost always very 50, close.
50-50.
This year, we're 51% men. Last year, we were 50 and
0.4 women, so but it's remarkable how close the numbers seem to remain over the years.
29% increase in international students, 94 freshmen we welcomed this year from foreign countries.
Do they don't count as out of state as well, do?
No, we distinguish.
I can add those two numbers.
No, double counting.
They're not double counted in there. No,
okay, just checking.
Not at all.
That's a good point.
I tried to get away with
but
that.
From a tuition from a tuition standpoint, I know you.
I know.
Got
well,
your
that's what I was.
There,
I was trying. I was trying to do that math actually.
Wayne knows that game.
We
had.
I kind of know
that. We fixed that one.
We welcomed another 1,400 transfer students this fall.
That's impressive.
And 4,255 graduate students. Enrolled this fall. So, very strong year from a new student standpoint. Questions?
Do you see any improvement in the number of black males, Wayne?
Not really. I looked at that, I don't know, 6 months or 7 months ago, I don't know for what, but that's an area that not only at UAlbany is a challenge, but around the country, as you know, campus is experiencing tremendous difficulty in increasing the number of African American males to the campuses.
But that was the question I was asking.
Maybe you and I were talking about it.
I didn't phrase it right. But so your numbers are, if you don't know what those numbers are, with the African American males to female ratio?
No, I don't.
We can get that.
I think it's important.
We can get that.
And the last question is overall, at the other end of the line, is the ratio of females to males to graduate.
We can get that as well.
Okay.
So why don't we do that for the December meeting?
Okay.
I'm curious too for about the split in the Honors College, actually.
I'm sorry, the sort in the Honors College.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll take it down another level and do it for the December meeting.
So it sounds like everyone wants to know on the
front. Want a grid?
Slightly more. The male to female, there are more women.
Would be my
right.
guess.
And on the front end and on the back end too, right? You're asking
that's
both
what I'm
enrollment
guessing,
and graduation,
yeah.
right?
So look at that. Yeah.
Wayne, just a continuation, and you may not know the answer to this, but on the first bullet with the mean GPA and SAT, again, how do we know how that compares with the other university centers?
Not to the other university centers. My guess is that the 90 GPA is extremely respectable in comparison to the other university centers, and we're holding our own with 1150 SAT score given the size of the class that we're admitting.
Right.
Okay.
But are those numbers up or down from last year?
The 90 is comparable to the past previous years.
Mm-hmm.
The 1150 is slightly off of last year's mark again.
Last year was a high water mark, wasn't it?
No, high water mark over recent past.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Not,
I understand.
I'm kind of surprised. I would have actually thought in the environment it would have gone up. But
I'm sorry?
I guess I'm surprised. I would have thought in this environment it might have gone up. But.
Bigger class.
No. Well, you had a couple factors. You had a larger class. Remember, a year ago we were shooting for 2250 in the freshman class.
Mm-hmm.
Nationally, the SAT score this year went down. The mean went down 3 points.
Yeah.
Over the last 10 years, it's gone down even more than that.
Yeah.
So there were a lot of factors
even
there.
Last
also, the mix of the class, you have to keep this in mind as we're focusing on SAT scores. That you have a larger percentage of Latinos where English is a second language in the household, and that's going to bring down mm-hmm. the reading score.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of factors involved with SAT.
Right.
But we're extremely proud, particularly of maintaining that 90 GPA, because that's the work that the students are really accomplishing in the classroom, and that's a better predictor of how they're going to do it, at least in their first semester of college work.
And that obviously puts pressure on student-teacher ratios.
The numbers do. That's why we're hoping to, we're going to get our plan in place.
Yeah. So they all tie together from a growth standpoint.
Pia.
You know, retention is very important.
Yep.
And at times we lose some of our best and brightest. And so I guess on a personal note, I'd ask, what do we need to keep you here?
Well, I'm pleased to report that the freshman retention.
Listen, the only perk that he told me about was that he gets two tickets to every athletic event at UConn. And apparently good seats, so I don't know what
to do.
Not
going to
have anybody left to play anymore, though.
Dan, if I might, just take a second just to remind you that enrollment management is not a solo act. It takes a chorus, and I've been very fortunate to be surrounded by some very competent professionals who really are caring and dedicated about their work. including Bob Andrea, but folks in the financial aid office, the registrar's office, advising services, and other areas that make up enrollment management. So it's been a wonderful team that I've been associated with. And I want to thank all of you for the support that you've given to enrollment management.
Dan, that's great.
Thank you, Wayne.
On a personal note, I mean, anybody who's worked with Wayne and had the pleasure of being with him, certainly at this body, knows his energy, but his vision, and more importantly, his results, and what he's been able to do more with less time and time again. And it's really inspiring. I mean, your dedication to the university, day in, day out, month in, month out, year in, year out, and we certainly notice it as a body. And hopefully, you know, at the appropriate time, I'm sure this body would like to present you with a resolution and recognition of your support and a couple other things. I know we didn't have time to do that today, but can't thank you enough for everything you've done for the university. Very just proud to be associated with you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're here.
Okay. Chris, you're up next.
I'm here.
Where'd you go?
Right, man.
They're fast.
Wow. That's because Andy's here now. We have all the theatrical moments, stage movements.
Anyway, I'm here to just talk briefly about the changes that I sent you last week.
Yep.
With regard to the proposed updates for the Student Code of Conduct, Community Rights and Responsibilities. You probably had a chance to go over them. The changes are actually highlighted for you in yellow, but I'm just going to briefly talk to you about what these changes are and why we are proposing them for the code. The first change has to do with off-campus incidents, and we're adding basically one sentence to our code of conduct that further clarifies to our students and to their lawyers what we can do as far as off-campus behavior. And that sentence is really highlighted in yellow, and basically what it says is that, you know, we retain the authority to address anything that's prohibited in our code off campus as long as it does not refer specifically to University of Albany property. So basically it just clarifies for students that anything that is prohibited basically on campus, we can also address off campus as well. So it's a pretty simple clarification,
right,
to a policy that's already been in place for a number of years here. The second change has to do with our alcohol policy for students over 21 years of age who live in non-freshman areas. And basically, this is also a clarification to the code, specifically aimed at our students that live in apartments. No offense, Trey or Nick. but we typically allow, for students that are over 21, we allow them to have personally up to 12 ounce containers of beer in their apartment. But what we wanted to clarify was that if there are, that's per person that lives in the apartment, and somebody from another apartment can't come over and bring 12 more cans, and another apartment come over and bring 12 more cans until you have a full-fledged party on your hands with a lot of alcohol. So again, that was simply a clarification to the code to ensure that students understand what that alcohol policy is in our apartments. The third set of changes all have to do with a letter that was sent out to all presidents across the country last April with regard to Title IX compliance. It came from the Department of Education, their Office of Civil Rights, and Title IX really talks in part about what campuses must do to respond to all kinds of sexual violence on campus, how they must investigate sexual violence on campus. And as a result of that letter, colleges across the country started really scrambling to make sure that their codes were updated to properly be in compliance with Title IX. And in SUNY, we got direction from the chief counsel in SUNY Central about ways that we needed to all update our codes to be in compliance, full compliance with Title IX. So what you're seeing, these changes to the code all have to do with being in compliance. The first thing is adding a new prohibited behavior to our code of conduct that's called retaliation. and basically retaliation makes sure that anyone who reports any kind of sexual misconduct should not be retaliated against in any manner by another student on campus. And that can sometimes happen. Sometimes when a student reports a sexual assault, sometimes the friends of the person who's accused might start harassing the victim. So that will all fall under retaliation, and now we will be able to address that as part of the code of conduct. And again, this is a requirement under Title IX. The second change has to do with changing the appeal process for all cases of sexual misconduct on campus. The way the campus judicial system works now is that only the person who is accused has appeal rights in any judicial hearing. The person who brings the charges does not have appeal rights. For cases of sexual misconduct, we are being instructed that we must change that policy so that both the victim and the accused both have rights to appeal as part of our judicial process. So we are specifically changing the appeal process only in cases of sexual misconduct to allow for that.
Chris, I'm just curious, on the point before, what does it mean pursues legal recourse for such a complaint? So retaliation is an intentional act taken against an individual who initiates any sexual misconduct complaint, including stalking or intimate partner violence, pursues legal recourse.
It means that if you are pursuing a case with the university police or with the DA's office, for example, if you're taking legal action against another person, then nobody can retaliate against you for doing that.
Just want to make sure I understood that.
And the last changes have to do with our what we call our appendix that really explains in detail about sexual assault. And the content of that really has not been changed that much, but we've changed kind of the order of what was in this appendix to make it clearer to students. We moved all of the reporting information to the top of the appendix. So as soon as a student goes to this appendix to find out about sexual assault information, they immediately know how to report a sexual assault. So that was one change we made to that.
Chris, when these changes get made, how are those changes communicated to the student body?
We basically, once any changes to the code of conduct are made to by the council, approved by the council, then what we do immediately is send out a message to the entire student body explaining what those changes are. And then we, of course, update. The code of conduct exists now on the web
right.
in a format where students can easily search it and print it. And then we refer the students to the on-campus content.
Okay. And I assume that new students, when they enroll, are given a copy of the code
of conduct? New students, when they enroll, actually have to, by order of central administration, have to agree online that they understand that they are getting the code of conduct and they know what this is.
Acknowledge and accept it.
Yes. The second change in Appendix J has to do with sexual discrimination complaints. This is something that was not in this appendix before, but now under Title IX, we have to, by law, say who the Title IX, that we have a Title IX coordinator on campus. We say how to reach the Title IX coordinator and that you can go to the Title IX coordinator to file a sexual discrimination complaint. And then the last thing that's changed in this appendix is just to reiterate for students what retaliation is. So that, in a nutshell, are the changes to the code of conduct for this fall.
Is there a specific resolution other than to approve this, or is just a motion to approve you're looking for? Can I get a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second.
Seconded by Pat. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Okay. The motion carries and is approved. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you.
Fardeen, I know you're going to be over here.
Fardeen's not here.
I was expecting him now to be over there.
Fardeen is actually taking two representatives of the State Department to the train right now. We had a very a fabulous announcement that took place. We got a $1 million grant from the State Department for our STAR program, which is Students at Risk. Mm-hmm. And we have a cadre of students from Iran who have joined the university, and the State Department is using us as the pilot, national pilot. It's $1 million this year and $1 million for next year. And leading that effort is one of our students who is quite famous. He's a physician who, along with his brother, was jailed in Iran, kept in prison for a lengthy period of time for fomenting a Velvet Revolution, which is basically disagreeing with the government. They're both noted AIDS researchers. Our student is a PhD student in our School of Public Health, and he's running the Students at Risk program, which is very similar to the Scholars at Risk, but it's about students. It's a great program, and that's where Bardeen is, because he's helped coordinate this effort.
So. Wonderful. Sue, do you want to, or does anybody else want to talk about this naming rights opportunity? George, do you want to?
No, by all means. Well,
I mean, it speaks for itself, but I just don't. You don't want to table it until the next meeting.
No, right? No. I think that first of all, as I mentioned to you earlier, we are we have about 25% of the project costs for our athletic improvements that are coming to us from private donations. One of the private donations, and I'm not going to mention the person's name because I do think he actually wants a level of anonymity for a while. Of $1 million, you can read the materials that are in front of you. Mm-hmm. He's given us $1 million. He's been a contributor to the university for a long time, and Fardeen has suggested, and he has accepted that, at least from the in the form of his business, that the old phys ed building, not Sestam, but the gym, mm-hmm. that's there, be named for. And I'm not sure whether it is, frankly, for his company or for him. I suspect it's his company, but I'm not sure.
All right.
So that's
it's in the
information.
Yep, it's all here, and we got it.
But with limited publicity. Right.
Yes, he does not. There will be no press releases or anything. But
so it is a public meeting. It's part of the record. But
it's part of the record. Disseminated. Yes, but we just don't want it to be too open in terms of. And there's nothing wrong with it. I mean, the guy is a wonderful community resident and has done a terrific job supporting the university. He's, I guess, a little bashful.
Well, it's a generous gift. Can I get a motion to support the naming?
So moved.
Okay. Seconded by Pat. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Great. Motion carries.
Hold it. I don't think, Kay, you're eligible to submit a proposal. Forgive me. So we'd have to have, you want to call for it again? Oh, Jim? Okay.
Jim is the motion.
All right.
Pat and Jim.
Either way.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Okay. Didn't want it to fail because Kay wasn't supporting it. Just make sure.
Careful.
Okay. Thank you.
Enthusiasm.
Next up is our own Pierre Ulrich. Talked about ACT and City Resolution on Shared Services.
I think the ACT, I think Shared Services came into this because of as being president of the association.
This will be a much
members.
More comprehensive report.
No, it will not. George is right. Any questions? as you can well imagine, the Shared Services, when it was interpreted to be college presidents, a number of the college councils got in touch with the Association of College Trustees and says, you know, what are you going to be doing? And primarily it came from the Canton, Potsdam area, the Cobeskill area, and Morrisville. And it was a resolution that was passed back in January about the shared services, went on to June 15th, the Board of Trustees met. As the president of ACT, I go to the Board of Trustees meetings, and it was the shared services, the combining, the looking at, and starting to formulate some type of plan to be presented to the presidents, et cetera. And then toward the, right at the end of July, July 28th, the announcement came that there was an interest in combining the presidencies of Canton and Potsdam, and then the week later, Morrisville's SUNY IT. And Cobeskill with Delhi. And as you can all well imagine, as council members, the concern, number of calls, emails, subsequent resolutions from those campuses questioning the advisability of it, but also the role of the council. You know, what does the council play? Our statutory, you know, responsibility of recommending presidents and presidential search to the full board of SUNY trustees. So the original resolution that was proposed at the September 20th SUNY Board of Trustees was amended to provide some of the flexibility that George had mentioned. They were going to take a look at and under consideration for Cobeskill and Delhi, although it looked like it was going to proceed, and with SUNY IT in Morrisville. Canton and Potsdam was put on hold until a report back in March of next year to see what kind of savings there was going to be, et cetera. And now a plug for our conference. Our conference, unfortunately, and I apologize to the university and the Alumni Association, but the ACT conference is this weekend, the same as homecoming, and I know that Trey and Michael will be attending. If anybody else wants to come out, we have a full agenda. We have Provost LaValle, who will do shared services presentation tomorrow afternoon at 3 o'clock, and then Marty Edelman will do the roles and responsibilities of council members from 4 to 5. Panel discussion on Saturday morning. We have Senator Seward coming, who has more SUNY school or more colleges, higher education institution in his senatorial district than anybody else, is going to kick off our breakfast meeting. And then we have a panel discussion with Ken O'Brien, who's a member of the Board of Trustees, and Admiral Crane, who has apparently been selected by SUNY to head up this shared services. And then we have our awards luncheon. Brings me to the point that the university at Albany senior, Sam Frumkin, will be presented with the Region 2 ACT Scholarship Award. Mike Stein, as the member of the Board of Directors, will be presenting it to him. His mom and brother will be attending the whole conference, as Trey will, as I understand, for the whole weekend, which is excellent. And Sam, for some reason, had a 3.99. I don't know how you do a 3.99 academic.
In yoga.
I mean, whatever that faculty member was.
Theater.
And everybody thinks it's an easy major.
But it was a nomination that would make everybody, and I'd be happy to share it with everybody in this room, would make the University at Albany very proud of this of the nomination. And certainly won it by the merits, his involvement in working with the community, and particularly on the search for the new police chief of Albany. It was very, very good. So that was excellent. Those are it from the association. I know that we have to, on September 1st, file an annual report. We did. Vice Chair Dan signed it, sent it along, and we shared the cover letter and the report to other council members to want to see how they do that, because they hadn't been submitting the annual report. Many, many compliments back. A couple of them saying you must have a wonderful secretary and staff. So kudos to Sorrell
Once
and
again,
Joyce
Sorrell.
For keeping all this thing put together.
Thank you, Sorrell.
Do you have, and that's online too, right?
And that's on. Oh, we didn't put it online.
Do you publish proceedings for the ACT?
I didn't put it online, but because in a sense it's a highlight of the minutes of the meetings and actions, and all of the minutes appear both in writing and the recordings.
Right. Okay.
We will, Pierre mentioned that they publish proceedings. We will make sure that each of the council members gets a copy. The proceedings, the ACT meeting proceedings.
Oh, yes. Okay.
We'll do that, because it is on shared services. It is on a number of roles and responsibilities that we just found the bylaws of which we have to rewrite. So there's going to be a lot of work done at the ACT conference, and we'd be happy to share that.
Thank you, Pierre. And one other thing Pierre mentioned to me, and it's a nice acknowledgement and recognition of one of our own, is that Abner is going to serve on the search committee for the next dean of Rockefeller College.
All right.
Great. Continue to make contributions. Next up, he's going to also name the field after himself, George. A little money behind that. I don't know if... I know there's between now and the next meeting, there are a couple other events. I don't know if you want to touch on any of these. I personally... if you get a chance to go to the winter commencement ceremony, it's a wonderful ceremony. I know a lot of people tend to focus on the spring, but the winter ceremony is a great event. If you have an opportunity to attend, I strongly encourage you to do so. And then, I don't know, if people want details on the memorial service for President O'Leary, do they get that from your office, George?
Actually, Sorrell.
Yes, so it's
Sorrell
this Sunday.
Is coordinating that.
This Sunday at 10 o'clock, I'm sorry, at 11 o'clock, in the recital hall in the Performing Arts Center. There'll be a memorial service, a one-hour program, a number of speakers, people who knew Vince and worked with him, then a one-hour reception, and then that's the program. The family is coming in from the D.C. area for this event. So all the members are welcome to join us.
Vince was a terrific president and did a great deal for this university, so his passing is of significant import to this university. So,
okay, all right. Any other business? Get a motion to adjourn then. Michael.
Mike.
Okay. Pat yeah. seconded.
We all jumped on that one.
Yeah. They want to be in the record. All in favor?
Aye.
Adjourn. Before he says something.